You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Okay. I usually do my intro solo, but I'm just going to, you're here now, so I'm just going to do it while you're here. Okay. Hello, hello. It's Brooke Devard. You're listening to the Naked Beauty Podcast. I am here with Rachel Amandi. This is her second appearance.
Yeah.
When was our first one? Like almost a year ago?
Not a year.
I think it was last May.
It was definitely summer because I had braids in last summer.
Yeah, it was warm. Okay. Mm-hmm. A lot has happened since you were last on this show.
Really?
Yes. Okay. Your insecure appearance.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. Rachel had her sweater on the first episode of the new season of Insecure. That was like a few months after we talked.
Yeah. And the last episode of the season.
And the last episode of... Yes. Yes.
She wore it twice.
Which must have been major. You were in Teen Vogue recently. Mm-hmm. Erykah Badu slid into your DMs, which I know you're like too cool to talk about, but like a lot's happening for you. I know the background on the sweatshirt thing a little bit, but could you just give the full story?
The nigga shirt, right?
Yeah.
So it started, I guess, definitely over a year ago as a joke. I was hand sewing that into like some of my homeboy shirts when they would come over in their real clothes. And then I put it up for Black History Month. February 2017.
Okay.
I threw it on the website. Didn't really know if it would move because, like, again, we don't have a lot of marketing that pushes people to the website.
Right.
So, like, a lot of our traffic is really, like, user-generated.
It's just word of mouth.
Word of mouth, natural, organic. So people started buying it. And then, I don't know, because it's such a polarizing word, it's pretty...
Yes,
it's and noticeable. I don't. And memorable.
This is like a weird thing about me, but I don't use the N word.
That's not a weird thing.
It's not weird. It's not. I'm not offended by the word at all. It's just that I didn't grow up saying it, so when it just like feels awkward and sounds awkward coming out of my mouth. So I just it doesn't offend me at all. But I just it's not. I don't personally use the N word.
Yeah.
So okay. So a lot of people started buying the sweatshirt.
Mm-hmm. And then HBO reached out. Ayana, who's the stylist for the show. And they wanted to pull some things, not just the sweaters, but some clothes, some ready-to-wear. And we don't loan, very rarely do we ever loan. So our policy usually is like, no, it's for sale only.
Right.
So the good thing is that not only did she wear it on the show, but they bought all those sweaters. I mean, all those. The public doesn't know this, but they ordered like a few.
Nice.
And they basically said, okay, why don't you send us a bunch of stuff? And whatever we don't buy, we'll send back. We had a bunch of inventory of the sweaters. We just gave them a bunch. And then they bought some. And I had no idea if they were going to wear it or in what context on the show or if they just bought it for staff. And I had no idea how they were going to put that on.
And the way that, like, the way they tied it into Issa's character development on the show. Because she was, at that point, she was so over dating in Men in LA. So to see her with that shirt on the first date was just perfect.
Well, it's funny because the connotation of the way she wore it made people think that it was like a negative thing towards men, which was never the intention when I did it originally.
Okay, I could see how that could get mixed up.
Yeah, so people were like, I don't know, I was just on Twitter when I saw her, when it aired, and people were like, I don't know, disgruntled, I guess.
It sparked so much discussion, though. Like, I know they talked about it on Jesus and Marrow, and like,
did they?
Yes, like, this sweatshirt came up, like, in all of these after-show discussions. Did you see a big, like, spike in sales?
Oh, a huge spike in sales. Huge spike in sales. Right after it aired, I texted Melina, the director, and I was like, tell Issa to tweet the link, because everyone's wanting to know where it's from. So she tweeted it. She just wrote me back, done. And then I got on Twitter, she tweeted it, and then it was like... a snowball effect after that. So that was cool. I sent Melina a gift and was like, thank you. I should have sent everyone a gift, honestly, but
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was cool.
I feel like moments like those can impact a designer's career so much more than like fashion. I know we've talked about this, like you're very over Fashion Week, right? Like you don't really care for Fashion Week.
It's not even, it just doesn't make sense. It's not about if I like it or not. It doesn't make sense for a lot of people, like a lot of brands, in my opinion, but whatever. For me, for us as a brand, it's not, yeah, it's not something we participate in. Not in a traditional format anyway.
I think that the rollout of Yeezy Season 6, another polarizing rollout, but I think that Kanye West chose to debut the line on Instagram. Like the timeline is the new runway.
Exactly.
Like people have runway shows so people can take pictures and post them on Instagram.
Exactly.
So let's just skip that step and get the pictures on Instagram.
Exactly.
Like you don't have to have this whole big event with a whole production budget and invite all the influencers and fly them out so that they can post pictures of your clothes. Just literally what Kanye did was so genius.
It really was.
But a lot of people thought it was like stupid.
I mean, trying to decide if I should talk about this because I signed a very scary NDA.
Oh, whoa. Well,
but I guess what I will say is that I knew about that idea about 2 years ago.
What?
Mm-hmm. I didn't know when it was going to roll out or how he was going to roll it out, but I knew about that idea.
That idea?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think there was a commentary on this idea that there's a lot of copycatism going on, right? Mm-hmm. Like people are copying each other's poses, their looks, especially Kim, she does something and then like thousands of people do it immediately after. So they kind of just took that and ran with it and then had people just recreate her looks.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, I'm like kind of bored by Fashion Week and the fashion space in general. But I find like designers like you to be very refreshing because it's more of like a creative expression and there's content connected and it's just like, I don't know. I haven't gone shopping in forever. Like, I don't feel moved. I'm not like, ooh, I need that. Like, I'm not moved by much.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Yeah.
There's so much stuff.
There's just like so much crap.
Stuff, yeah.
And like, I don't want any of it.
Mm-hmm. Unless you feel like particularly drawn or connected to something, which I also haven't felt in a long while. But there's so much stuff. And that's why we try not to make so much stuff.
Right. Yeah. And to make pieces that women are really going to cherish and have in their wardrobe for a long time, not just like a one season throwaway.
Mm-hmm. It's really ludicrous, honestly, to think that the public could, well, they do though. That's what's so wild, but not really. Sorry. I'm like thinking to myself and not explaining, but what I'm thinking is that it's really wild that we would suggest that people buy new clothes every season.
Ludicrous. But also it's new makeup. And that's why I'm like so passionate about creating all my own skincare things, because I'm like, once you have the knowledge and like access to a kitchen, you can pretty much make anything skincare, hair care products. You can make everything pretty much, but everything is just like buy, buy, buy. And it's like bullshit.
Buy, 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 buy. It's insane. And it's actually kind of scary and sad because the fashion industry is one of the biggest polluters in the world. Like, what are we doing with all these clothes that no one is selling?
I know.
Like, they're just ending up in landfills and we're not even being sustainable about it, blah, blah, blah. Don't get me started, but
yeah, the fashion world
is not sustainable.
It's real problematic on so many levels.
It is, especially like Fashion Week. Look, this format is not going to exist in probably, I'm going to say, the next 4 years max.
Ooh, hot take.
I don't think it's going to, look, like, if anyone who's paying attention, come on, you know?
Interesting.
Like, editors aren't going to have the same. They already don't have. Editors are shook. People that work in publishing are shook. They're all getting laid off one by one. And so it's either like, you know, you can go down with a sinking ship if you want. You know, it's like the string quartet playing on the Titanic.
Yeah.
And they know the ship is going down. It's like you can hold on to your title,
yeah,
but the ship is going down, whether you're ready to acknowledge it. Every day I see ads like, get a year of subscription of Vogue for like $6. It's like, whoa, what's going on? You know, it's like, back in the day, to be a designer, your relationship with the editors and the press mattered so much because print was the communication.
Right.
And now when everything's digital and you can market yourself on Instagram and you can start your own podcast, I mean, it's really like free enterprise, the survival of the fittest, like who has the best product and the best engagement. So you don't really, there's still a little bit of politics there, but you don't need those people in the same way that you needed them before. And these people are now becoming aware of it. And I just think it's really interesting because times are changing really fast. And I'm curious. So much has changed since Instagram has been around. And that's been how many years? What? When did it come around? 8 years ago?
Yeah.
Like, look how much it's changed, the whole landscape of the world. So imagine, like, what's going to happen in the next 7 years. That I'm cutting that time in half.
4 years Fashion Week over, you think?
Something's going to seriously change. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I don't think it can sustain itself in the way that it does now. Because unless, like, you're, like I've said before, unless you're an old brand who has the capital and you keep doing it just for the sake of.
Listen, Ralph Lauren had their first bad review in I don't know how long. Like, I'm on a group chat with some former colleagues. The Washington Post, like, took the Ralph Lauren show down, teared it to pieces.
So you mean Robin took him down?
She did.
What's she write? I need to catch
up. She basically said, like, why are you pretending that this is cool in 2018? I mean, that was, like, the headline. She was like, these people look like country club douchebags. Like, you want to punch them in the face. They have, like, a sweater tied around their blazer. Like, this is not...
So out of touch.
It's so out of touch. And that's what she was saying. She was saying, like, where is any evidence of what's happening in culture today? Like, you're just living in this kind of, like, crystal ball, isolated from everything.
Mm-hmm. It's like what Nina Simone said, like, how can you be an artist and not be reflecting the times? Like, yeah. What are you talking about if you're not talking about what's going on now?
That's, like, the role of an artist, to comment on what's happening
right.
In culture. Well, so this is the thing that I find so interesting about you in particular. You are kind of beloved by the fashion world, but it's like...
I feel the opposite.
Okay, wait, listen.
Sorry, go on.
So in your Teen Vogue write-up, there was this one line that the author wrote that I was literally, like, laughing out loud reading it. I don't know why I found
Probably
this line so funny.
Probably because you know me, but...
But this is the line that the author wrote. She said, although warmly embraced by the industry, Amandi has a chillier attitude in return.
See...
So it's literally like you guys love me, but, like, I'm kind of good on you.
But that type of commentary is so misleading.
You said that when you came here almost a year ago. You were like,
so misleading.
You're like, there's so much press, but it doesn't mean anything. But, like, at this point, you can't deny that.
But
the fashion world is intrigued and interested by you. You know so many people in the industry.
Here's the thing. You guys would be shocked to hear that they really don't. They really don't. And I mean this because of this. The press is very fickle. While I appreciate the press that I've gotten, and I do appreciate that it's been very organic and natural, and it does matter. It does mean something. It's like a signal of cachet, whatever, mm-hmm. to people. That does not represent the industry, the establishment. And when I mean industry, I mean buyers, retailers, editors, the CFDA. There's a bigger establishment that does not recognize me as someone that they're embracing. So just because the press says the industry loves me and people think that the industry means fader, coveteur, the press, you know, reporters, mm-hmm. whatever, that has nothing to do with, like, our actual cash flow. And, like, you know, luckily, thank God, we're maintaining because the customer comes to us.
So what to you would mean that the industry was on your side? Like, if you won the CFDA award,
like,
which I think you will win. You're like, don't say that. But all I'm saying is, like, what else do you need? Like, you've had all the press, you've had all the accolades, like, everyone who needs to know about you knows about you. Like, what...
But here's the thing. What I became very clear of very early on was that I don't need these. I would
yeah.
like for them to like me.
Yeah,
because,
but you don't need their validation.
Like Kanye said, I'm likable, but they don't. They really don't fuck with me in the way that people think that they do.
Right.
Meaning, like, store buyers can't get appointments with them.
Yeah.
Like, we're not
yeah.
in stores. Do you
right.
know what I mean? Like,
right,
we're selling
right, right.
direct to consumer. I would like to be in stores because it's a marketing platform and it's,
right.
you know, it's more cash flow, but it's like...
That's
you
why
know,
I said that you and Azadeen Alaya were like spirit animals. Like,
well,
you guys
have a
very similar approach.
It's not like, it's so interesting. That Teen Vogue article is a little bit misleading because it makes it seem like everybody loves her, but she's an ass in return. And it's like, no, they really don't. If I could tell you how many people, you know, don't respond to my emails or don't want to take a meeting with me or showrooms that don't want to carry us or people that literally won't take a meeting or, you know, PR firms that I took a meeting with a PR firm just on Friday that left a sour taste in my mouth that, like, they're talking to me like, you know, you're like a broke little girl and you can't afford us, or like, you would be shocked how many people don't give us the time of day. Mm. We have a lot of growing to do, and it's
right.
hard to do it because, one, they get this impression through maybe the press that I'm a little bit of like a renegade, and that's a little off-putting, I suppose, even though I'm so nice.
Yeah, you're like the loveliest person ever. And for me, the reason why I would want to work with you if I was a press person or someone on the other side is because you're a hard worker. And that's
yeah,
the
but press
other
is
thing.
Not the same thing as some of these other pieces that come into play. Like, press is one part of it. That's the communication. But when it comes to our actual business,
yeah,
our infrastructure, the money that's coming in and out, there are so many roadblocks in the way of people who you would be surprised. I wish I could, like, be explicit, and I don't want to, like, you know, shoot myself in the foot totally, but you would be surprised how many people and how many institutions and firms and stores and stylists don't fuck with us. Because on the one hand, I kind of understand, because there's this young designer, this young black female designer who's saying things of, like, who clearly is like, I don't really need you guys. I mean, you can see it in the way the articles that I've done. It's like, well, who's this person that wants a seat at the table, but is also denouncing the table at the same time?
I mean, even the fact that you don't loan pieces, because most designers are just so desperate to get into a fashion book that they'll be like, please take it, take it, take it. But you're like, no, you have to buy it.
And I understand the industry too much to play that game. That's
right.
The thing. If I was a little bit more naive, or not even, just like less informed, but it's like I've worked in so many facets of the industry, and like Solange said it in that Teen Vogue article, Solange Franklin at Paper Magazine, she was like, Rachel knows that good press does not necessarily mean good sales, so what? Someone takes my dress and slaps it on a celebrity, that doesn't make that item sell out on our website. It doesn't.
Right.
It used to, maybe, but it doesn't. Or that, so what if someone does a spread and they shoot it for whatever, Document Magazine? That might be a beautiful image, but it doesn't make that garment sell out.
Right.
You know, so it's like that, all that runaround of finding and loaning and picking up and dropping off and trafficking samples, like, it's a lot of runaround for very little return on investment, and the investment being time.
Well, okay, this is a perfect segue. Speaking of running around and not having time, February for me was one of the busiest weeks I think I've had in, like, recent adult memory, just in terms of, like, work, personal life, travel. Like, I felt like I was kind of, like, drowning. Like, I had so much going on. And I know you had a really busy February, too. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to know from you, like, how do you handle just, like, balance and, like...
Oh, yeah.
Do you feel like, overwhelmed sometimes? Like, I feel really overwhelmed sometimes.
Extremely. It's so funny that we're having this, because I literally had a mental breakdown this morning at 6 a.m.
Okay, like, it happens. Like, I will sometimes just be like, everything is collapsing and it's too much and I don't know what to do.
No, I feel that way a lot. Well, the thing is, it's like, well, I've been feeling that way a lot lately, but I don't actually typically feel that way a lot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, have you ever seen that Venn diagram that's like, extreme self-confidence, absolute, or no, what is it? It says like absolute narcissism versus extreme self-doubt. And then in the middle is like art. I don't know. I saw it on Instagram really, and I related to it so much, because when I can see clearly, I feel so confident. I know exactly what my purpose is. I know exactly what I want to do. I know exactly what I want things to look like and what the plan is for the business. Da, 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 da. And then there's days where I feel like I'm in the middle of the ocean and I cannot see anything. I don't know which way is the sky. I don't know which way is the ocean floor. I don't know which way is land, which way is sea. I don't know. It's just blue all around me. And those are the days that I panic, because normally I have such a clear vision of what I want. And those are the days that I feel like depressed and dark and low. And I have literally no sense of direction. It's
right.
Like being lost, you know, in a city you've never been in. It's like, I don't know which way is left or right. And those are the days when I'm like, what am I doing?
So what happened this morning at 6 a.m.?
I just wasn't sure.
Yeah. Are you like a crier when you have a breakdown? I'm like a crier and call someone I love.
Oh my God, yes.
And I feel like they just get that phone call and they're like, Brooke, take a deep breath.
No, yeah. I 100% cry. And it's like, you know, and also when you're running on your own,
you have to like go in the bathroom and cry.
Yeah, there's like a sense of like, you know, not wanting to show people that you don't know what you're doing. And that's the thing that I wish people would just all get over. Like, none of us actually know what we're doing. We all are panicked. We're all wondering. It doesn't matter if it's me who has a little small business or someone who's at the very top and is running.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure like Emily Weiss might have got days where she's like, I don't know what to do. Everyone, you know, no matter how glamorous the gram looks, has days where we're all honestly trying to figure it out. And that's the part that I wish... That's what I'm gonna do with the podcast, and like just trying to lift that veil of making everyone feel like everyone's killing it, because that Instagram shit will kill your vibe if you start comparing yourself and everyone's fucking faking it. Not faking it, but you know, kind of.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But yeah, everyone's panicking, and it's not every day, it's not all day, but like this morning was definitely one of those days. Literally my eyes are puffy right now because I was crying from like 6 a.m. I'm not even kidding.
No, like, but like I'm so happy that we're talking about this, because I do feel like there aren't platforms to be like, and actually I've even seen on Instagram when some people will be like, sad selfie, like just cried, and I'm like, even that's that's performative and like,
totally.
Shut up. Like, and like, maybe stop. I should be encouraging that because they're trying to like change the way that we talk about ourselves in social and public forums. But it's just, sometimes I just feel so busy.
Like, it's just so interesting. Everyone's perspective is so different because like here I am like running my own business, which literally means for everyone out there, it literally means I'm making all of this shit up as I go.
Right.
Like, I'm not any particular genius. That's right. the true secret is like, we don't really know what we're
right,
doing.
Right.
We don't.
You're just trusting your intuition.
Trying my best to do
but
that.
But that's an art in itself because a lot of people don't know how to trust their intuition.
That's true. And I would say that like, I do feel have a good relationship with myself, but it's weird. Like sometimes I have friends who work at, whether it's like magazines or they're stylists or they, you know, whatever, have a boss.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, oh, I keep working this 9 to 5 or I'm working, you know, retail or I'm a bartender. Like, I don't know. What am I doing with my life? Where am I, how am I going to get out of this circle, this hamster wheel? Look at you. You're doing your own thing. And I'm like, and then on the flip side, I'll be like, do you know how much I would kill to have a boss today? Someone yeah. who tells me just what to do and I just do it. I don't right. have to think. I don't have to tell yeah. my, you know, whatever assistants or,
yeah.
you know, people, other people what to do. I sometimes feel like I'm a single parent raising kids. Because
right.
people will come to the studio and be like, okay, what are we doing today?
To
and yeah. I'm like, I don't fucking know. Like, find something to do. And if I have those days, I'll just make something up. I yeah. literally, they may not know that, but I'll literally just be like, yeah, go through all that stuff and like, I'll make up tasks. And someone just told me that as a trick. They're like, they don't need to know that you don't know what you're doing, even though I'm literally saying it on a podcast for everyone to hear. But like,
no, that's very real. That's very
so
real.
So it's like a perspective thing. And I'll compare myself to other people yeah. all the time, which is sick and like demented. But you just have to remind yourself that it does not make sense to do that.
Yeah, it really doesn't. Cause we're all just like, we're all on our own journey. But one thing that I do find helps me a lot, and I'm sure I've been seeing a lot of your ballet videos yeah. recently. I find that like when I'm physically active, like when I'm working out regularly and like stretching and going to the gym or taking classes, my rate of like feeling panicked and overwhelmed dramatically decreases. Mm-hmm. If I can dedicate time to like connecting with my body, I feel much more like secure. Do you find that?
100%.
So what do you, first of all, I feel like you've been showing off your body more on the gram. We all thank you.
On my personal gram.
On your, yeah, on your personal private account. But you have an incredible body.
You're so sweet.
Is it a ballet thing or is it like genetics plus ballet?
I think it's genetics, but also like I haven't had given birth and you know like and also working out yeah
yeah
that's definitely part
so
of
you're
it.
Into ballet you mm-hmm. take like traditional ballet classes mm-hmm. like classical like there's someone playing the piano and mm-hmm. you're like in a leotard.
It's not a real ballet class, people, if there's not a live pianist.
Yeah. So wait, where do you take ballet? Tell me about your relationship to ballet.
Honestly, I just started getting back into it. I don't want to say where I dance at because I don't want people to pull up. Not that I'm that famous. That sounds really arrogant.
No, no. But also, like, sometimes you don't want to ruin a good thing by getting it
yeah,
crowded.
Yeah, like, I don't even want to say that. It just came from this place of darkness where I was feeling like I needed to be doing other things outside of, like, yoga and outside of, like, working that, you know, fed my spirit. Mm-hmm. And so I just started channeling things that I used to love and that I used to do all the time. And dance was one of them.
Yeah.
And also, anybody who's ever danced, dancing breeds like insecurity, I think, unless you came up in a very healthy studio.
And insecurity about your body?
Just everything.
Everything.
Just, I feel like I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. You guys leave comments or something if I'm, you know, if you feel otherwise. But I feel like anyone who danced, you just always want to be great. And if you're not doing it every day, you don't consider yourself a dancer anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And, anyway. So I just wanted to get back into things that like I loved, and I played piano all growing up, and so I've been playing piano again a lot. I bought a piano for my house and dancing, and just, you know, my friend that I dance with a lot, he just always says like leave it at the bar, which is just a thing of that, which is just a reminder that like you have nothing. He always says you have nothing to prove, everything to gain, which is really helpful for me mm-hmm. when I go to dance because it's such I'm more critical there than I am in any other aspect of my
really?
Life, which is part of the reason why I stopped doing it.
Yeah,
because I was killing myself mentally over like not being perfect or my penché wasn't long enough or my lines weren't good enough or my, you know, everything. And so I was like, I'm just going to get back to it for joy.
Yeah.
And so that's probably why you see it more in the gram now.
Because
I was doing it for a while and I wasn't posting or talking about it at all. Because I'm so
self-conscious about it.
Well, just critical.
Critical. Yeah, I mean, I think when you have an appreciation for something and you know how great it can be, you feel like, oh, I'm so far from that like it's not even worth like telling people I do this.
Yeah.
What I love about ballet is the attention to posture and just being so aware of like the space that your body takes up. Mm-hmm. I hate running and cardio classes. Like I did Barry's boot camp once and I was like, why do people, I'm not training for the military, like I don't need this. For me, cardio, a good cardio class is just a dance class because mm-hmm. it's just about how your body moves through space. I actually like taking ballet classes mm-hmm. too. It kind of reminds me of Pilates. I think that there's a lot to be gained from people, even if they've never taken a ballet class, from just starting to do it, because I think it makes you so much more aware.
Mm-hmm. It does. It's hard. It's really hard, but it's good.
And you're so flexible also. That's the one thing that I've never been able to figure out how to like make my, like I can't do a split to save my life.
You just have to do it over and over.
If I like keep trying to do a split every day, one day I'll do it.
Yeah, just practice, honestly. And that's the thing, like we live in this culture where everything is instant.
Right.
Instant.
People want instant results.
Yeah, and it just doesn't work that way. And so like a lot of the things that I grew up doing, like piano and just like, you know, highly disciplined things, mm-hmm. like you're not going to be flexible yeah. in a month.
True.
Or maybe four. You know, it takes a
it
lot.
Takes time. It takes time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of true with like, especially with beauty, like true beauty stuff. Like if you want to improve your skin or like if you want to do anything that's transformational, there really aren't any shortcuts.
There's
like
not.
You have to kind of put in the work.
There's not. Like there really, truly isn't.
Your skin is pretty magnificent. What do you, okay, let me ask you something. Do you drink a lot of water? I've been doing this challenge.
It's full of shit, you guys.
No, your skin is great. I've been trying to drink a gallon of water a day. I'm on day 3 of this challenge and it's exhausting.
I don't subscribe to that. Although people say to do that.
I'm just trying it now.
Just pee all day long.
You just pee all day long.
You drink a gallon of water a day?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I'm doing it now.
All day long.
Yeah. It's.
Although maybe that's good. Maybe you're supposed to flush it out. I haven't studied it enough to know like what
yeah.
the
What do you think? Is. What do you do for your skin?
Brooke, I don't do anything.
You just don't do anything. It's just
like,
genetics.
You do like See, way more. Like you're the skin.
But here's the thing.
I'm not doing anything. I wash it at night.
This is why I'm so happy I have a beauty podcast, because I want everyone to understand that like beautiful people are mostly genetically blessed. Like it's just the facts. Like someone, you see someone with great skin and you ask them what they do and they're like nothing. Someone with a great body, they're like, meh. Like I work out some, like it's just a lot of this is genetics, which I think is actually good for people to understand, because mm-hmm. it's not like follow these 6 steps and you'll look like me.
Mm-hmm. Some people don't have great skin. I still have like problem areas. And sometimes if I'm stressed or if I'm not washing my skin or if I'm not eating well, or if I'm drinking too much, I get like, not like necessarily zits, but like, you know,
you'll notice like inflammation.
Like rash. It almost feels like a little rash. You know, it's not proper, like a proper pimple, but it just gets really bumpy. So it's like, today is like a pretty good day, but like I should mm-hmm. come in on days where like I don't, you know, it just depends. And mm-hmm. it, like everything in life, there's like the highs and the lows.
Yes. Well, one thing that I thought was very, like I was very surprised to see this backlash, but when Kendall Jenner went to the Golden Globes this year, I guess she had like her skin was breaking out mm-hmm. and people took these like super zoomed in pictures of her face and she had like, I'll just say it, she had really bad acne, like her mm-hmm. skin looked really bad mm-hmm. and everyone was criticizing her for it. And then I was thinking like, well, what's she supposed to do, not go? But then I thought about it further and I was like, well, if you're a model and that's your currency, then yeah, maybe you don't go.
I was kind of surprised to see her skin looked like that, but I also was like, come on, like you guys have like access to everything, like don't you have some Accutane, like get it together.
But see, that's the thing about like, if you have a true breakout, like,
but I'm also glad she went, because that's a reality of life. That's a reality. It's like, yeah, she's a model, but also like she's not immune to anything the other human doesn't experience. And if yeah. anything, with how glamorous their lives are and how unrelatable they already are, if anything, that's grounding.
True, yeah.
Like, okay, Kendall Jenner has acne. Actually, thank God.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, exactly. It's nice. And she, like, whatever. What if she's, maybe she has an obligation, or maybe she had a contract with a, maybe she had a deal that required her to be, you know, who knows?
True. One thing that I think you do a really great job is I think you make really interesting beauty decisions with the way that you shoot your looks. So like in your last like collection, I don't know if you call it a lookbook, but
yeah.
whatever I saw online, like the models had like super, super long mm-hmm. hair, like almost ankle length, maybe. Mm-hmm. The model was wearing these kind of like granny panties, if I can say that, mm-hmm. like just kind of like not sexy underwear. And everyone mm-hmm. is like super vixen, sex dolled up. Mm-hmm. There's something so refreshing about seeing a girl just kind of like down to earth. Like, did you think about kind of, Did you make a story for this woman and kind of like who she was? And
yeah, I knew who she was and I knew what environment and what story I was telling. Like in the Teen Vogue article, they touched on it a little bit, and I guess this would be a good time to actually describe it. But it started, the whole concept started at Great Expectations, mm-hmm. which was the 1998 film with Gwyneth and Paltrow. And that was because I was like, well, fuck him, he doesn't matter anymore. But someone whose name we don't mention, I don't even think about anymore, inspired it. And it's only because in the movie, if anyone who's ever seen it, like guy's in love with girl, chases mm-hmm. girl around forever for many years. And there was someone that I was like, had known for a long time, was friends for a long time, and was like very into him. And I just kind of like played this like sick mind game with myself, honestly, much like Pip in the movie.
Yeah.
And so we kind of like came to a head, and I was like, this is a waste of my time. Everything that we've been doing for all this time is a waste. And so I was like, how do I channel this ultimate like regret into something? So it started there. And through that, if you've seen the movie, I started to like, you know, it takes place in the Everglades in Miami. And I started to get into that vibe of like swamps and like, how do I make this a summer thing, but make it dark and kind of depressing and kind of
summertime sadness. Yeah.
Summertime sadness. And that's how we came upon the set. And like, also just like the decaying, like if you look at where she lives in the movie, she lives in this broke down mansion that's like falling apart. Mm. And I was like, I wanted to communicate something that was green and possibly lived in and possibly flourishing at one point.
Yeah.
But then when we threw all those toxins in there and those wastes in there, it kind of shows like this place is deteriorating.
Yeah.
And in the movie, she's so cold hearted. She's so beautiful and he's so in love with her, but she cannot emote. She
right.
does not know how to go there with him. She's not going to, and he keeps thinking he'll be able to get her to, and mm-hmm. she's not going to.
Yeah.
So I just wanted this girl that like felt pretty and was living in this space that has the potential to be a healthy, beautiful, green, flourishing environment, but it's a wasteland, and she's just kind of dark. And also it kind of spoke to the industry, which is like, why do we keep making all this stuff when like ultimately it's a wasteland? Like everything that we're doing so we just care about the pretty picture. Who cares if the clothing is selling? Who cares? Like all people care about is the image. And so that kind of inspired it. Like the panties and the long hair kind of came to like when it came down to styling and like adding the details to that story.
Yeah.
So it's not like I thought about the panties at the beginning, but if you look at the mood board and you see how it like got distilled into that, those images, that's kind of like what was behind it.
I think that there's so much great art that comes from heartbreak. It's like a very unfortunate thing to happen, but every single great artist, we just watched the Vincent Van Gogh movie last night, Living Vincent. It was all created with like oil paintings. And he just had his heart broken repeatedly so many times, and it pushed him to become this great artist. Like there's something about the relationship between heartbreak and like big personal breakthroughs and creative breakthroughs. Mm-hmm. And it's been a long time since I've had my heart broken, but I can remember feeling like, you feel like you're never going to get past it, but it's like, in a way, it's like the best thing that can ever happen to you.
Yeah, something is telling you something. But yeah, I also think it's good to like use whatever you're going through. And a lot of people just resist.
Yeah, use it. You have to use it.
Use it. And I think it's all about knowing how to.
Yeah, but I think it's hard. Like you're a creative, so you have this outlet. But if I'm a media manager and like a conglomerate and I'm heartbroken, what do I channel that into?
Journal, make notes, write all of your saddest, write what you're actually thinking on Post-its and post them around your mirror. Like there's so many things that you could do to just like get it out of your body.
Yeah, that's
like
a great
sweat
point.
It out, whatever that is. You don't have to be like the greatest artist, but like write it down or type a journal entry and then print it and then frame it or whatever. Just something to remind you of like what it is. Like you can manifest what that was, because a lot of times we just push it away and just store it, or we just try to get rid of it. And I don't think internalizing things is the best way.
Yeah, I agree. There's like an intensity. There's like an intensity to being wronged or like heartbroken that like nothing else can really recreate it. And it's kind of like while you have that energy, even though it's like a negative energy and it hurts, it's kind of worth harnessing in some way.
I also think it's nice to bring whatever that is into the third dimension, meaning the real world.
Mm.
Something that you can look at, something that symbolizes it, because it's too easy to forget. And if you're like me, who's highly imaginative, I can like distort my own memories into whatever I wanted them to be, and that's not healthy, because it's like, no, that's not what happened, girl.
Yeah.
You played you. Don't forget that. Print that. Post that. Frame that. Like, make sure you remember that's what happened.
Yes, that's so true.
So I've like printed text messages exchanges for myself, and I've like printed them.
I'd love to see.
Like, I've screenshotted them, and then I print them, and then I journal them, and then I tape them into like these books that I have. Like, I try to like just certain things that
yeah
I want to like yeah. I don't want to live in a digital world. I want to like remember it and see it.
Yeah, to make it like a physical tactile thing. I totally mm-hmm. get that. Isn't Rachel just the absolute best? I love this episode. And I'm only interrupting it to tell you about an amazing, amazing product. And you guys know I'm so against consumerism and my BS detector is always on high alert. But these Bluetooth wireless headphones from Studio are everything. They're incredible. They have changed the game for me because I'm always listening to podcasts. I'm listening at the gym. I'm listening as I'm getting ready. And these are sweat-proof. There's no cord, so I just feel so much freer when I'm listening. There's an intimacy to having someone speak to you in your ear. It's not the same when you play it from your phone. Even when I'm like doing my makeup and getting ready, I love to listen to podcasts. These headphones are beautifully designed from a Swedish company, so they have that beautiful kind of Scandinavian design sensibility. They fit in my ear so comfortably, and I can never get anything to fit in my ear. All of my listeners get 15% off at checkout if you use the code NAKEDBEAUTY. I've linked to studio.com in my show notes. They ship internationally for free. Very, very high quality product. They retail for $99. The packaging though looks like they look like they're much more expensive than that. They would make for a great gift. Everyone gets a discount. NAKEDBEAUTY at checkout. You get 15% off. Check out the link, use the code NAKEDBEAUTY, and happy listening. All right, let's get back to the episode with Rachel. I was going to ask you like the beauty trends that you love and like also what you're totally over, but since you didn't have any, can I just like share mine with you and we'll just talk about it?
Yeah, I don't think I have any new ones.
Okay, you don't have any new ones? Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you want to start with things that I love or things that I, the trends I'm really over?
And on a positive note, so things that you hate.
Okay, I only really have one. If I say something that like you've done, will you tell me?
No, I don't get offended like that.
You don't get offended? Okay. Okay. It's kind of a beauty / fashion trend. I just don't get it. I want to say it started in September, and I think it's done now, but like, remember that trend when like girls would show like a part of their fishnets with their jeans?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever do that?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, I really hated that.
Okay,
I was like, why is like the streetwalker chic thing?
Fair enough. And I just don't think fishnets are cute in any way.
Fishnets have never been cute,
unless
though.
Unless you're, like, on Broadway. I love a good cabaret.
Yeah, movie. Like, if you're, like, but a jazz dancer.
Yeah.
But, like, these, like, wide fishnets that people were wearing with their, like, distressed denim, I just thought was, like, the ugliest trend of 2017.
That's fair.
It was, like, one of the worst.
The Run for Revogue is where you'll meet all the most exciting people in fashion and culture.
I am Fran Lebowitz, who should be the mayor of New York.
We all support that. We support that.
Very nice.
Nikki.
Yes.
It's been really great being in this beautiful pink room.
All right, Usher, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
All right.
Can you hear me?
We can.
We can.
All right, here we are.
On the podcast, you'll learn how Vogue really works.
Sometimes we'll come in for a second or even third run through until we are AWOC.
Can you tell us what AWOC means?
It means AWOK, Anna Wintour OK.
I'm Cho Minardi.
And I'm Chloe Mel.
And we're the hosts of The Run Through with Vogue, where fashion and culture collide.
Join us. It's AWOC.
Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
And then I do have one more that I'm on the fence about,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like it could be really good, and maybe I just need to embrace it, but I think I'm kind of more over it than I think it's good, is white boots. Don't you feel like all fashion girls have a pair of white boots? They all do.
Yeah.
And like, maybe I'm just hating because I don't have white boots and I just need to get them and understand that they go with everything and that they're the perfect neutral, but...
I don't mind that one. Like, I don't mind the white boot, but I also don't mind the criticism of it either. Because okay. I kind of feel like I can see both sides.
You can see both sides.
Which I usually never say that, by the way. I very rarely say in life, I see both sides.
Okay.
I'm usually like, no, this is my stance.
This is your stance, yeah.
But no, I kind of do truly see both sides. I can see how they're kind of annoying and tacky, but then I also, like, see sometimes it's cute. Like, sometimes I see a look and I'm like, yes, bitch. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, you know what? That's so true. It all depends on, like, how the person wears it. Okay, the three beauty trends / fashion trends that I really want to get into this spring, but mm-hmm. I'm like kind of afraid. I'll start with my first one. I really want to live the like sweatpants casual lifestyle.
Oh my God, that's me.
I know. And I talked to you about, I remember I like called you and I was like, I have to go to this like formal thing. Like, what do I wear? And you were like, just like dress down, like just be casual. Like the coolest person in the room is always the most casual. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but that's you and I'm not you. Like, look at me. I'm in like a little like Jean-Paul Gaultier, like button down.
But you have also, you have a corporate job.
I have a corporate job, but on the weekends, I'm still, like, literally in, like, a button-down and, like, tailored pants.
That's cute. That's your thing.
I know, but like, I want to be... Because I got one pair of sweatpants. Mm-hmm. I got them from this, like, Instagram brand. Don't judge me. I am Gia. Do you know this brand? Mm-mm. Okay. It's, like, a very Instagram brand. But I got, like, these cute orange sweatpants and, like, a matching hoodie, and I wear them at home, and I really like them. But when it comes to going outside, I'm like, I can't do it. Like, I want to be the sweatpants girl.
My new look has been, because of dance,
yeah,
a leotard and sweatpants.
Oh, that's so chic.
Like, all day, every day.
Does it bother you that people would be like, that's Kim's look?
No, I used to hate on Yeezy, and then one day I looked in the mirror and I was like, bitch.
this works.
Yeezy, yeah. But mine's actually form followed function. Like, I take ballet, yeah, and if I go, I want to be able to just like segue into my,
yes,
real life. And like the other day, I went out straight after, and that's the look. And then I'll just like throw on a heel. Where
that's like literally like what I'm trying to channel. But where do you get your sweatpants from?
It just depends. Well, all of my sweatpants are like usually Omandi. They're like embroidered. So
okay, I just need to order some like Omandi,
yeah,
sweatpants.
You'll totally channel the vibe.
I'm obsessed with fragrance. Mm-hmm. I am obsessed with fragrance. Byredo is like the, mm-hmm, like, I've gotten Gypsy Water, Velvet Haze, 1996, and Balda Freak all within this year. Because every time I smell a new fragrance from them, I'm like, yes, give me more. Yes. The Tom Ford fragrances I do like, but I'm obsessed with fragrance. What do you wear?
Right now, this is so boring for a fragrance fan, but right now I'm wearing Santal 33, which is so boring.
Okay, Le Labo.
Yeah, Le Labo.
But here's the thing. Le Labo gets it, and they get it right, and it's, mm-hmm, like a beautiful fragrance, and men wear it. Okay, here's my thing. I don't like women's fragrance. There's not a single fragrance that I've liked that's been for women.
I don't like anything that's calling itself for men or women.
Yeah, like I just like dual gender fragrances.
Yeah, because if it's for a man, it's probably too, like, we already
musky
know what
and
gross. Yeah, we already know what they're gonna be, woodsy and musky and like, yeah, whatever. And if it's for a girl, it's gonna be like, what, like floral and vanilla?
I know.
Like, ew. But
have you tried Tam Dao from Diptyque?
Mm-mm.
Ugh. I'll give you a spray before you leave tonight.
Like Le Labo, for someone who's into the fragrance world, you know that Le Labo is like the Santal 33 is like the most basic, like fundamental thing ever.
It's basic, but I actually don't think it's basic. I think it's a classic.
Okay, that's a,
you know what I mean? It's like the modern Chanel number 5.
Mm-hmm.
It's like chic.
Although Chanel number 5 makes me want to puke.
Chanel number 5 is the most disgusting fragrance. Like,
but it was so chic back in the day. It's just that it got when I was like 15, I was like Chanel number 5, but now I'm like,
I've never liked a single Chanel fragrance. I think Chance is like so sweet and cloying and disgusting.
It's gross. You're right.
I don't like any of the Chanel fragrances.
I think it's because I was so young that I was like, that's my,
yeah,
scent.
What did I wear when I was younger? I wore, when I was younger, oh gosh, I'm like thinking back, some really ratchet scents. Like I wore like 212. I wore Narciso Rodriguez, her.
Mm-hmm. Like what are the gross, like Dolce & Gabbana.
Dolce & Gabbana, like light blue. And that's the worst scent of all time.
It reminds me of like Miami or someone from Miami. That's so rude. Sorry, I love people from Miami.
And we love people that wear light blue too. Yeah. We're like really, like, we're like talking about,
I mean, they're probably keeping Vogue magazine alive with their ads, so.
I know, and why are fragrance ads so bad too? I'm like can one of you just get them? Can one fragrance house just like get it right and do a good ad? It's not like a slow motion like horse running through a field. Like I feel like fragrance ads are so cheesy.
There's so much room for opportunity to,
I know,
grow.
You should do, what would your fragrance smell like?
Oh my God, it would be, well, honestly, when Tom Ford just came out with his fragrances, I really felt like he got it right, but
yeah,
I killed all of them. Like I wore them all way too much.
Okay, tell me which Tom Ford ones you've loved.
I started with White Suede.
White Suede, okay. White Suede, I never really got that into. I just actually got a sample of White Suede at Jeffrey's yesterday.
I thought it was like, especially if you know Tom Ford's brand, you know, like his aesthetic,
yeah,
who he is, and
yeah.
You know, the man that's like pouring a cognac by the fireplace,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
with a great,
yeah,
like hard bottom,
yeah,
shoe, like, you know, Tom Ford man.
Yeah.
Like the way he not only designed those fragrances and named them, I was like, Tuscan leather. It was
Tuscan
perfect.
Leather, such a good name.
Yeah, and the way it smelled, and even when you went to go see it in the store and the way it was packed, it was just like, oh, he gets it. Like, his brain is so thorough. But like, I went through all of them and I killed them all.
I still like Santal Blush, mm-hmm. and I like the Tobacco Vanilla.
Mm. I don't really like anything vanilla, but that one worked because it was paired with tobacco.
Yeah.
But it still was a little like... much for me. You know who I actually thought was going to come out with a way more sophisticated fragrance because they're so chic at everything else that they do?
Who?
The Olsons.
Oh, the Row?
No, the Nirvana, Elizabeth and James.
Okay, some people love it. I'm like a fragrance nerd. Like, I'm on message boards about fragrances. Like, guys, luckyscent.com, like, hit mm-hmm. me up there. I've got a username and everything. Like,
mm-hmm. I people love the Tom Dixon candles.
Oh.
But I'm off them now. But like when I first discovered Tom Dixon,
you know what's
I was
so
like,
interesting about fragrance? It's like you, it's like almost like lovers. It's like you have this obsessive period, and then like there's some fragrances that I loved, and I'm like, yes, 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 I need it. And then I like smell it, and I'm like, get away from me.
It reminds
like, get the
you.
Fuck away.
It reminds for me. Fragrances are literally like photo books. Like if
like
I smell it,
you
it
moments.
Takes me right. It's like listening to an old CD. It takes me right.
Yeah.
Back.
But even if I don't have a negative experience while I'm wearing a fragrance, sometimes they can just turn in a way where I'm like, I don't. And then I can come back to them, but sometimes you just kind of fall out of love with a fragrance.
It's like eating at your favorite restaurant too much.
Yes.
And you're like, I need to not go there for
yes.
like 2 years.
Yes.
And then you're like, oh my God, I love this meal.
Yes. Yeah. Well, there's this new fragrance that, it's not new. It's been around for a long time. It's new to me. It's called Molecule, and it's a super ISO-E. It's like a pure distilled super ISO-E, and super ISO-E is like this chemical that they put in a lot of fragrances, but it takes on a different smell for every person who wears it. And it's like this very like some guy was wearing it and I was like, what are you wearing? And he was like, oh, it's like Molecule. And I was like, it's so incredible. It's like Molecule 01. They sell it on luckyscent.com. Barney's has it.
First of all, that name is brilliant.
It's such a good name. And it's a weird fragrance because as the wearer is unable to smell it after a certain amount of time, but other people smell it and it like lingers, and a lot of people use it as a layering thing. So I've been like Googling a lot about super ISO-E. It's like so fascinating, but I love it.
I love a good concept.
Yes.
Like
it's so
that,
cool.
Like, it adjusts to like your pheromones and your natural
yes,
scent.
That's exactly what it is.
Oh, and I believe in that. Like I've met men that like, if I don't vibe with their scent, like I can't.
No. Pheromones are so important.
So important.
But do you like a guy that wears fragrance?
Whether he's wearing it, whether it's the soap he uses, I don't care what it is.
You just have to smell good.
I need to be attracted to his smell because I never used to be, honestly. It was a friend of mine in college that got me to pay attention, like woke up that sense of me in me. And ever since like then, I've been so much more alert about it. And
it's like a biological reaction that we have
totally.
To scent. And it's really sad to think that like some people probably spray on a fragrance before a date and it like fucks the whole thing up because the person that you're with may be unattracted to that scent,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Which
like,
also was a reflection of your taste. Because I remember in middle school, like boys used to wear like Axe body spray.
And
I was
it
like,
makes you want to gag. You're like, get away from me.
That's just vile.
No, you can't grind with me.
Yeah.
Back up. Your
like,
Axe body spray is
also
awful.
Also to know, like I know fragrance is enough to know what you're wearing. Like, I'm not the kind of girl that's like, ooh, what's your smell? I'm like, oh, I know what you're wearing. Ooh, you wear Axe. Like, you're wearing aerosol can.
Yeah,
like,
I think guys have grown up, though. I think, like,
I feel like a snob, but I am.
You know what, though? When men wear the Lalabo, I think it's really hot. Like, when they wear, like, the sandalwood, I think it's really nice. I think there's something nice about a man that knows what type of fragrance to wear.
Mm-hmm.
There is... So, you know, I'm, like, a natural beauty girl. Like, I believe in all natural stuff. But fragrance is where I kind of... me and my herd part because I tried to just do like essential oils like lavender, and I love lavender and I love essential oils and I use them in a lot of my products, but I'm still like addicted and hooked to like those designer fragrances.
Of course.
Because you can't recreate them.
You can't. And to be a good note, like to get it right.
Yes, to get it right.
To get it right is something you can't replicate. And like, that's why I was so skeptical of Glossier coming out with the fragrance. I was like, oh no.
Yeah,
I don't know if you guys are ready for that. Like, if you're not going to do it all the way, don't do it.
Yeah. Fragrance is just, we have the masters that are doing really great work. Fragrance isn't one of those spaces where I'm like, I wish someone would come in and disrupt this and create something. Like, we're good.
I mean, if you
there's
can,
so much to
by
discover.
All means. But it's like, to me, if you're going to do it right, to do it well is such a, you can't like Jimmy rig it. It's like you have to really know the factories, you have to really know the noses, and the fragrance world already is a monopoly. There's only a few people that are making everyone's scents for the most part.
That's true.
So you can't really give me like a like Bath and Body Works type of smell. Like I'm an asshole. I want the full on, like I want all of the notes. I want to be able to smell like, you know what I mean? There's a luxury to it.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that fragrance is
notes.
Yeah, like fragrance is not in the same realm as beauty. And that's why when they were like, we're coming out with the fragrance, I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa,
yeah,
whoa.
Really jumping 0 to 100 real quick. Yeah. Like,
I was not ready for that. And I also haven't tried it or smelled it, so I'm being a little prejudiced.
Well, I feel like I talk about luckyscent.com all the time. It's how I learned about fragrances by reading other, you know how like you kind of like learn about movies and like movie taste by like reading reviews. So you learn about fashion from reading reviews of like the greats that are reviewing the collections. Mm-hmm. Lucky Scent is so cool because they review every fragrance, but it's all crowdsourced. And then they'll say, like, if you like this fragrance, you're going to like this fragrance. Or if you like things that have top notes of this type of musk, you're going to like this. And, like, I started to realize that they were all connected. And, oh, there's this nose that I really like, and he does all of these fragrances. It's, like, a really fascinating, like, subculture.
I'm going to start reading it more because I really don't. I just
and
go by, like...
what you like. The other thing that I love about them is for $4, you can order samples any single fragrance. Yeah.
Bitch.
Exactly. So I'm like, okay, I only spent $20, but I have like 5 new fragrances on their way to me in the mail, and you can just like wear them for a week.
Don't tell me that.
It's amazing.
Oh, shit.
It's amazing.
That's a game changer then, because I'm going to definitely do that. I do think it's sexy for women to wear like musky male, quote unquote, male scents.
Totally. Totally.
Especially if you're like, you know, feminine.
One thing that I have found, and I don't want to put this on just like black hair products or natural hair products, but like some of the scents, I'm like, I don't want to smell like strawberries and cream or like a tropical beach vacation. Like,
people need to get their scent game up. It's so basic.
It's just like some of these scents are so basic, and I love the natural hair community, and I'm always rooting for brands that are black owned, but some of the scents turn me off from the product and its efficiency to the point where I'm like, just make it unscented. Because this whiff of, like, coconut mango vanilla cream is making me feel physically ill.
I always get unscented anything if it's not something that's, like, expensive and that I know what the scent is. Truly. I know that sounds so snobby, but, like, I hate the smell of castor oil. I use it, but I don't. Like, I'll put something else over it.
Yeah, you have to add. I add lavender to my castor oil.
It's like, this isn't simply orange juice. Like, I don't want, like, a raspberry lemonade. Like, I don't want that. This is not Bath & Body Works.
You know what? I don't like smelling like food. Or desserts.
There you go.
I don't like smelling like desserts. It reminds me very much of like Victoria's Secret.
Totally.
Fragrances.
It's gross. It's also just very unsophisticated.
Yeah.
Like if I was a tween, if this was Limited 2 or Justice and I wanted like a body sparkle shimmer spray.
Oh my gosh.
Then maybe banana would be cute, but.
Remember being like 13 and going to Limited 2.
The roll-on,
like eyeballs. Glitter stuff, yeah. And like the tattoo necklaces. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the Delia's catalogs?
Do I? Yeah.
Life was so simple.
It was so sophisticated to me. I honestly, like Delia, remember YM?
Of course. Mm-hmm. That whole era, I feel like, have you seen the movie Lady Bird?
Mm-mm. Not yet.
It's interesting because it's set pre-social media and like everyone having phones. And there's something about that. There's like this... I'm 28, you're around my age, right?
Yeah, elusive.
Elusive, but like, there's something about the way that we grew up before, like, being young and like looking at magazines and putting them on your wall, that I kind of feel sad for this generation that doesn't have that.
I know, I still do it though. I just spent like $200 at McNally Jackson on Friday, it's crazy.
Oh, I love McNally Jackson. But don't you think we do it because we grew up doing it?
I still think maybe that's why, but I also feel like people who have a soul, no matter how old they are, still yearn for something that's physical. Like, we could only be so digital. Like, look at Tavi Gevinson. Like, the way she grew up and the way she would describe her bedroom, that was me as a kid. And she's young, you know, or was when she started Rookie or whatever. It's like, she wanted to, like, post up her favorite
thing. But what about kids that are 14 now? I don't think
they... God bless their soul. I don't know what they're going through.
Yeah, I don't think they have this desire for physical things as much.
Maybe they don't, but that's why I say soul, which is kind of like, no matter how much digital stuff is fed to you, like, don't you still yearn for something that you can touch? That's like saying that you could just take like a digital boyfriend. It's like, don't you want to touch him and feel him and smell him? Or like, don't you want to, you know, if someone was like, you can have an artificial lover, people would like, would anybody be like, no, I want the real thing? Or would they just be like,
some
okay.
People may be like, yeah, actually, maybe easier. I mean...
I just feel like soul still craves things
that are real.
Like I still read, not as often because obviously I can read on my phone, you know, quick news, New York Times, whatever. But like I still, I was at the Mercer Hotel and they gave me a New York Times, you know, magazine, you know, newspaper.
Still, we still get the paper delivered
here.
You know
what I mean? It's stacked up in every room. I'm here reading the paper. Like I still read books. Like I still touch things. I still go looking in physical stores. Like some things can't replace that. And I feel like you have to turn into some kind of soulless creature to truly not miss any of those things. Like I'll drink Soylent for the rest of my life. Like who's doing that?
I know. That's
who
so
doesn't
creepy.
Want a meal?
That's so creepy. But this new generation coming up behind us, they're just so different. I actually think they're kind of better than us in a lot of ways. Like, looking at all of the footage since the Parkland shooting, like, they're, like, one, like, not here for any BS. They're, like, more tolerant than ever. Like, they're so tolerant. They're all, like, gender nonconforming and fluid identities.
Oh, tolerant that way,
Yeah, they're just, like, I mean, they're truly the definition of, like, being woke, but they don't even see themselves as, like, oh, I'm super woke. They just are because they've grown up in a way that's been tolerant of other things.
Yes and no. There's a lot of fake wokeness. Yes and no.
I'm talking about, like, 16, 17 year olds now.
I still say yes
you
and no.
You think they're fake woke?
Well, no, just yes and no. It just depends on what it is we're talking about, because there's a lot of people who, yes, like, more kind of, like, socio-politically aware and conscious and tolerant, but then also like some of them are still really dumb because they don't
yeah, like they don't like Dave Chappelle because they think he's like not PC, and I'm like, do you not get what comedy is, that it's supposed to push boundaries,
you know? But also, I don't know, times have changed. Like maybe he's making jokes that would have passed a decade ago that don't now, I don't know. But it's also like just the idea, like, not everyone is going out into the world and finding their own references. It's like there's a lot of young people that still think that like the only thing they need to research is what's on the internet. I'm like, newsflash, everybody, here's a crazy thought. There's a lot of things that existed in the world that never made
its way to the internet. Yeah.
So you need to go to an actual library, or you need to go to an actual, you need to do some actual research on the ground.
Very true.
And that's the thing that I is missing, because like everyone's references are so incestual. And there's movies that I remember as a kid growing up that didn't get bought by Google Play, Amazon,
Netflix, that they'll never see.
Or HBO. Yeah, it's like you'll never see them because you weren't there to live the time. And I'm like, I remember these films. They were on the Blockbuster shelf, but like, unless you were there and the copyright didn't get bought, so it's because it wasn't big enough, you don't remember those things. And that's why I say fake woke, because there's a lot of stuff they don't make effort to go find.
Well one of the beauty trends that I really like, that I feel like it's been popularized by the Lemonade video, the Rihanna and Pharrell Lemonade video, but a lot of young girls have their heads shaved now. Like even when I went back to Stanford recently, a lot of young women, like, they didn't have their armpits shaved. Like, a lot of girls had shaved heads. Like, that wasn't popular when I was... You're rolling your eyes like, ugh. Like, I shaved my armpits.
Just the armpits thing. I get it, but I'm also like, we get it.
But why do we do it, right? We do it because we've been, like, conditioned and trained to. But for them, it's, like, sexy to, like, wear a tank top and, like, have hairy armpits. It's not... That will never be sexy for me, because I feel like I've just... I'm too... used to just hairlessness as like...
I like being hairless, but I mean, to each their own. And yes, the shaved head thing is cool. I think it's cool. Like, I shaved my head at one point. I think it's cool.
I think it's really cool, because it's a self-confidence that can't be... When you shave your head, you're like, this is me. This is my face. Like, I'm not hiding behind anything. I like this, like, younger generation. Yeah. I feel like
the
they're very cool.
The armpit thing is kind of annoying to me, though, but I get that, too. But I'm also like, we get it.
You're a rebel.
Yeah, like, we get it, girl. Cool. You contain all that body odor in those armpits. Like, we get it.
Well, some people don't even use deodorant. They use crystals.
I don't have time.
Yeah.
I don't have time
for
it.
So those are the only parts of my beauty regimen that are, like, toxic. I would say fragrance and deodorant. And then, like, I love my, like, NARS blush and stuff. And like Fenty's probably a little toxic. Makeup, I tried to get my makeup at Whole Foods, and it just, I didn't, there wasn't a spiritual connection.
Bless your heart, because I don't even like, I wish I was more quote unquote green and toxic free, but like I have so many other things to worry about on a daily basis, like I can't avoid them all.
I mean, I think if you start small with things
like whatever Goop was talking about, like where do I go?
Well, like your body lotion, like do you buy commercial body lotions?
No, I just have shea butter, and I don't even know what anyone else is actually using in this earth besides shea butter.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a piece of knowledge that you have. But there are people listening to this right now that are using commercial lotions.
What are you guys, what are you honestly putting on your bodies? No, and this is not to be like an asshole, but like when I really got into shea butter, Yes. What else do you like? I look back and I'm like, what was I using? A watered down, like, what was I using? Jergens? Like, what the hell?
Exactly. It's just, it's non-comparable in terms of like the actual hydration of your skin. And also whipped shea butter is very easy to make. Like, you were giving me shit for like, you're like, you're melting stuff and you're brewing and you're stirring. But all you have to do is like melt shea butter. Like, if you get like unrefined shea butter, I order it on Amazon. I add the oils that I want. I melt it down and then I just use like an electric mixer and I whip it all up as some essential oils. It's like, and you can make 3 months worth. Mm. It's like not that, but you can also just use raw shea butter or raw coconut oil. Like, you don't even have to make it into a concoction. But I feel like your skin's your largest organ. So if you're slathering something on your body every single day, that's toxic.
I feel like I was just putting water on my body as lotion before shea butter.
Yeah, it's like kind of a joke.
It's a joke.
Yeah, I think the industry is getting more like aware that natural beauty is kind of what consumers want. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of, it introduces a paradox for them, because how can you sell things if they're truly natural? You have to add some chemicals into, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of the...
manufacture it somehow.
Yeah, that's why I want to make Blue Apron for natural beauty. But like, that's a whole other business idea.
Plot twist. You better edit that out before somebody steals it.
I know. I really need to. Or like, keep it in case you're an investor and you want to like help me out.
Hook us up.
Okay. The only other thing I had as like a trend that I really love is braids. I just got these. I was wearing my hair out for 6 months doing the afro thing. Mm-hmm. 6 months of twisting nightly and sore arms, and now I'm just like out here with my braids. Have you seen Black Panther?
Yeah.
Thoughts? Don't be controversial right now, because I love you.
And I loved it.
What? You didn't love it? Rachel, no, okay, you didn't love it? Oh my God, this is really upsetting.
Okay, here's the thing.
This is really upsetting.
No, it was great. I feel like I have to say that. I honestly, my hands are tied behind my back, because for all intents and purposes, it was great. I'm in a group chat right now. Everyone was talking about going to see it. I said, I saw it last night. It was a bit disappointing. That's all I said. I saw it last night, a bit disappointing. They dragged me in the group chat. They're like, here she goes. And I'm like, no, see, so now I'm scared to say anything. So now
It's a safe space. Seriously. What was disappointing? No, I do want to hear.
No, it's honestly, it's great. It's amazing. Like, that's a huge milestone.
Of course.
You know, it's like, what, $200 million film, like major motion picture.
I think it made $700 million.
Like, it's retarded. You know what I mean? Like, the box office blew up. Like, there's really nothing to criticize, because in the larger scheme of things, I truly understand what it did for young children and black cinema. And, like, it matters a lot. So in that sense, it's almost like, in a way, like criticizing your parent. It's like, no, they didn't make, like, I can't, like, who am I to judge? You know what I mean? Like, but I just thought it was super corny. That's all.
You thought it was corny?
I've seen better superhero movies, better Marvel movies, in my opinion. So, like, forget the fact that it was a black film, which obviously I'm going to, like, praise.
Yeah.
But, like, I've seen better movies, black or not.
Well, I will tell you what I did think.
Corny.
I thought that Black Panther, like, himself was the most boring part of the movie. Like, like, Killmonger, I was like,
carried that film.
Yeah. His little sister, Shuri, I was like, we can just focus on her.
She's
like,
so cool, and I loved her. I fell in love with her when I saw her in Black Mirror.
She's so cool.
But like, the women carried that film.
Yeah.
Peeta and Angela, like, the men, I also didn't like how they made them so like 2018 attractive. It's like, they're in Wakanda, this like futuristic African society, but they also have like a beard and a fade. It's like, come on, you may as well wear Jordans then. You know what I mean? Like, what? Like, the women's hair was so explorative and futuristic,
I'm
and the guys were like
a beard and a fade.
It's like, come on. Like, it was kind of like, I don't know. I'm being an asshole.
Wait, you didn't like Killmonger? I loved him. I mean, I didn't love him. He was like a horrible person, but like,
I mean, Michael B. Jordan, I'm African, so like the fake African accents were annoying to me. It's just like,
right. Your family's from Kenya. Like, why am I like forgetting that right now?
So it's kind of just like, you come to our village. It's just like, ugh, like, I get it. Like, Lupita pulling it off works. Like, you know, it's just
she's Kenyan, right? I mean, she grew up in Mexico, but like,
she's Kenyan.
So, and Chadwick Boseman's from like South Carolina or something.
But you also have to understand, I'm just a highly critical person. So this isn't to say that I didn't like the movie.
Yeah.
Just that like, my personality, I'm me, annoyingly enough. And I'm just going to be like, oh, I wished, because I also didn't know enough about it before I went in to go see it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was actually, you know, a fault of my own. I just was expecting something different, but like, I've seen better Marvel movies where I was like, I loved this and I loved the Avengers or whatever, and I was like, oh, this is just,
I don't like the Avengers, but
I thought it was corny.
Okay,
like, what are those? I was like, ugh, who
that's
wrote
funny,
I guess
they threw us, like, they threw a little reference in, a little internet reference. Okay,
yeah, see, but it was, I mean,
do you think that, what do you think it means in terms of like making Africanness cool?
It's really important.
Right?
It's really important.
Because
it's
growing really up, important. Was it cool that you were African?
I mean, I don't know what other people were thinking, to be honest.
Yeah.
I try not to worry about, like, what other people think really is in my... I don't know if it was cool to... I really don't know.
Yeah.
But it's really important. So that's like... that's why I really feel like an asshole truly even criticizing the movie, because what they
fine.
Did...
But it's fine. We should be able to criticize black art. It's not like we have to be like a monolith,
honestly,
and all of it.
What they accomplished trumps my criticism, no matter what it was.
Yeah.
It really does. It's like...
Yeah.
You know, like, it's really important because we've never seen that. We've never seen that for the
young kids. Like, I walked out of that movie feeling so good, like...
You know, it's really important because we've never seen that of ourselves. And we weren't, you know, sinister and cool, which is what we're normally portrayed as black people. It's like, oh, the black girl's sassy and the black guy is, like, intimidating. It's like, we were just, like, real people in a normal community who actually are considered, like, superior and elevated. That never happens. And it's rooted in Africa. It's like, that was important for young people to see. You know, that's so important.
Yeah.
People cannot fathom how important it is to see something, to be able to imagine it.
And also just like how rich African culture is, right? Like that they kind of represented all these different like tribal cultures within like those big group scenes, and they had different people from the community there. It's like Africa's just this huge continent, and it just kind of gets painted with this broad stroke usually. Mm-hmm. And it was nice to see all these different things represented.
And also there's been such a history of separating African American from Africa.
Yes.
And to marry them by this casting and by the setting, it's important because for so long, you know, black Americans feel so disconnected from that, because black America, we're orphans. We're not really supposed to be here.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the Killmonger thing. It's like,
there's no real
it's like
home.
A forgotten person, yeah.
So like, we consider America our home, but, and I mean, luckily for me, I'm African, so I have a sense of where I'm from, but like, you know, the community, we're orphans. We're not really from here, and we don't, we're living in another person's world and another man's ideas. And so it is kind of confusing. And so there's like a lot of resentment that's been created between African Americans and Africa, or like calling people booty scratchers, or like, you know what I mean? Making fun of the names. There's been such a disconnect, and it's nice to marry the two because it's important that they're not seen as so different. It's like,
absolutely.
You can go
it's like a forgotten brother, like a distant family member, right?
Like, no, exactly.
I mean, reading the book Americana kind of opened me up to the fact that I didn't know that Africans were so critical of African Americans.
Very. Like, oh my God, I talked to my grandmother.
I didn't know how much they looked down on African Americans. Because it's like, why aren't, like, because I know that African culture really values education and like self-presentation and like being respectable. It's almost kind of like an English sensibility.
I find both, though. If you're coming from a bourgeois African family, then but I find both happens, because I've met a lot of Africans that romanticize the black American experience and they're like, young money record, you know, they're like, they really just, they want to be a part of the culture. And then I also meet, like, you know, European black people who, everyone romanticizes black American culture. Like, it's happening globally, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of both. It's like, I don't know, but it's also irrational because we're all actually fighting the same issues globally. I don't care if you're living in the Caribbean, in Africa, in America.
Going back a bit to the N-word discussion, I know that you called out some pretty influential people in fashion for using that term.
Oh, yeah.
On Instagram. When was this? Well, set the scene. What was the context? It was an Instagram story moment, but you got the screenshot, so.
Yeah, it was like, what, January?
Yeah. It was like around like the Katorshas or something.
Yeah. Whatever. Two Russians who don't really understand black culture, which is like most people.
But, okay, what's the woman's name? Mira? Mm-hmm. Mira Duma?
Mm-hmm.
She's, like, extremely influential. She's, like, is now in the tech startup space, but she's been in the industry and around American culture for a long time. She's, like, been covered in every major magazine. Like, she's not, like, a random Russian woman.
She's not, but it really has not... Here's my point of view. It really has nothing to do with that. At the end of the day, most Americans don't know much about black culture. Black history. Do you know what I'm saying? They don't know enough about us to know that that's something that would trigger us.
Okay, well, explain what she said. Explain what she wrote on her Instagram story.
She wrote, she posted a note that someone sent to her. And it said, what did it say? To my niggas in Paris or something?
Yeah.
Whatever. It's not even like, to me, it's not even honestly that big of a deal. It is problematic for all the obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But it's like, if we're going to get mad at them, we have to get mad at everybody, you know, because there's so many people who don't really understand black culture. And that's like, I just wrote, I don't know if they're going to publish it, but I didn't even pitch it. They came to me. Whatever. But I wrote something for the Coverture, and I don't know if they'll air it, but I mean, publish it, but it might be a little too intellectual. But basically what I was talking about was that it's not really the word that they said that's the problem. And it's not really diversity and inclusion and all that stuff. Because, like, for example, if you use that H&M campaign, that boy that with the monkey.
Oh, the coolest monkey in the jungle.
Like, that. So think about it. Like, it's not, it wasn't any lack of diversity. It wasn't any lack of representation.
No.
So what was it that caused the outcry? It's the context that
it's
people
It's the context. And how could you be so clueless?
Exactly. How could you be so clueless to not see how that would trigger a community of people unless you don't have any frame of reference?
And there are no black people in the room, because that's the other thing. It's like, so no black people looked at this, but even white people, that's the other thing.
But
it's
that's
like
the thing, white people don't have a frame of reference, a context to what we've been through to know enough to know why that would trigger the community.
Okay,
do you
fair.
See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so when she's writing niggas and posting it, she's clearly posting it shamelessly, because she literally doesn't know that that's going to trigger a community. It's almost so harmless and innocent, that's what makes it so sad, because they truly didn't do it to start a riot. You know, I don't think that they're like these bigots. I think that they just are clueless.
It truly shows like true naivete.
Truly just being ignorant, and not even in an offensive way, just like not knowing. Wow. And that's what's scary, because there's so many people in our country alone that don't know anything about us. They really truly don't. They don't know the cultural context.
Well, then how do you put into context the popularity of shows like Atlanta and Insecure? That, like, Atlanta is like a top show, and the majority of people that watch that show are white.
I don't know. I think people are really intrigued by black culture.
Right.
You know, that doesn't necessarily mean they understand it, especially because it's so nuanced. There's so many subtleties and layered complexities to the culture that unless you've really studied it, unless you really know people
or you've lived it,
you're not going to know these like red flags. And these, you know what I mean? So like the niggas thing is like, you know, for me, like, again, it's like a tongue-in-cheek item. It's still the top seller. It's the number one thing that we move product of. And to my knowledge, I don't know that anyone white or like non-black has ever bought it. But even if they did, I still don't care. I don't care.
Like, they want to take that risk.
Yeah, like, that's on you.
It's on if you want to walk down the street with that shirt.
If you have the balls to do it, pay me my money and take your chances. Like, I don't know. That's on you. Like, who knows what kind of feedback you're gonna get.
Well, I'm so excited. After this, I'm gonna like go on your site, and can you like help me order all the right sweatpants so I can get into like my this new sweatpant era of my life?
Yes. And we should take a class.
Oh yes,
ballet class.
Oh my gosh, I don't want to take ballet class next to you. I've seen your skills.
No, please. I'm like, well, actually the classes that I take are like for people who danced before. I take like advanced beginner classes.
I think I know where you take class. I won't say it on the mic, but
No.
Oh. Okay.
No, I'm scared of them.
I've taken dance classes there.
Really?
And I survived.
I don't go there, but I have a few places that I like to go.
Okay. We'll discuss off air.
Okay.
Okay, last question. So I've already asked you when you feel the most beautiful, and your answer last time was like when you were in love.
Mm-hmm.
But since we've talked, like even in the last 6 months, can you recall a time that you felt like I look really good, I feel really good? Like, you know, you have those moments where you're like, I'm really like, I'm killing it right now.
Probably documented on my Instagram.
Yeah. Okay. Can you share the behind the scenes story of one of those moments?
Like when I physically looked good, like when I was like, I physically look good.
Or that you just felt good.
Well, those are two different things. Cause when I actually feel good in my soul, it doesn't really have as much to do with what I look like. It's more about like my energy or what I'm mentally at. But when I looked good, I don't know. When I posted that picture at the Mercer Hotel of me like naked in my hotel room.
Oh, that was a flex.
Yeah.
That was like you were like, so what, when you're like having that moment and you see your reflection and you're like, this needs to be shared with the world? Cause it's,
I'm like, I look cute. I want to take a picture.
Yeah. It's like selfish to keep it to yourself. You're like, I should share this.
Yeah. Like, but see, this is the thing. Like the thing about the way I use it is like on my Instagram, it's like I don't do it all the time because I'm not one of those girls that's like so thirsty for like
it's every now and then, and you'll have the whole timeline shook.
Yeah, it's like every once in a while it's like, just don't forget, you know, I'm not trying to remind you every day, but just like, don't forget, these are out here,
this is what's happening underneath everything,
this is what's going on. Like, I'm wearing sweatpants and a sweatshirt today, but like,
don't forget,
if you catch me in the summertime, I'm ready.
Amazing.
So yeah.
Well, thank you so much. I can't wait for your podcast.
You have to come on. I'm really excited. I'm kind of scared of myself, but I'm really excited.
I mean, that's what's going to make it amazing. And once it comes out, we'll definitely, like, we'll have you back again. You're like my, you and Caroline are the only two people I've had on the podcast twice.
So, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because
usually
so honored.
I talk to people and I'm like, okay, I've got your story. There's nothing more. But like, yeah. You're just like endlessly fascinating.
Yeah, I can't wait to turn the tables on you and ask you questions and make you describe stuff.
Oh, God. Asking questions is much more fun for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, get ready.
All right, well, cheers. Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Naked Beauty, my favorite place.
Yes. All right.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.